This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Saints, the Heimlich maneuver.
That's amazing. I didn't know that.
Any age. Works on any age. I remember being at Trey Yen when Mary Lee was maybe 10 months old. And she was in a high chair, and I was with our neighbor, and we were talking and talking and talking and not really paying any attention to her, and I look over at her, and she's blue. And I picked her up out of the high chair immediately, and I was, you know, hitting her on the back, but that didn't do anything, and I thought, well, you know, she's too little to Heimlich, but I had no other choice. So I just put her in front of me and Heimlich to 10-month-old, and it worked. It worked. Anyway, it
That's
was
amazing.
The scariest thing ever, but and I'm sure we made a scene, but who cares, you know? So anyway, that absolutely does work for sure, for sure.
Well, to finish the anecdote I was talking to about there, I was had walked around all the way the entire city, and I stopped, and we actually did an Eat Club dinner there, and we did it at this restaurant right in the middle of town. And ever since that day, at some time during the summer, I get a menu in the mail from this
restaurant.
This restaurant. Well, it wasn't really a restaurant; it was a church, a basilica. I would go so far as to say. So it was pretty amazing, and they still send me this menu every year. You were mentioning the Dragos family, Satanovich. Mm-hmm. They're all from around there.
Yes.
So it's a lovely area, and just if you ever get a chance to go there.
It's a travel hot spot. Actually, though, the travel hot spot has moved on. It was Croatia for a few years, and now it's Lisbon. It's Portugal.
Yeah. Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, things go hip and not so.
Well,
hip.
You know, it's always a fluid situation.
Well, anyway, I went and had my throat
blessed yes.
This morning, and I figure I better do that because who do you get chances to talk to?
Well, I'm actually glad that I was working on your almanac for today, because I would have. I always say to myself sometime in January, I have to remember when St. Blaise is, but I always forget. So today I actually did remember and did go, and I'm glad that I went.
Good.
Anyway, 260-6368, the priest said that there are three questions that he always gets from Catholics.
Yeah.
One is...
You were there today.
When is St. Francis... feast day, so are we going to bless the animals? The other is St. Blaise's Day, and I forget what the third one was that he said. There's three things that they always... Oh, ashes. Ashes, St. Francis, and St. Blaise.
For the many years that I was hosting, or guest hosting, Mardi Gras from Gallier Hall with Angela Hill, and all of that, believe it or not, I had been doing that for over 25 years every year. And the reason I brought that up is what?
Ashes?
I was just talking about some.
Ashes, maybe?
Could be.
Crescent City Steakhouse?
Yeah, the Crescent City Steakhouse.
Anybody wants to join us for that this year, send Tom an email, tom@nomenu.com. We'll book a table and go with people who are going to have
still
reservations.
A table. Boy, they
Tom
sell
at nomenu.com.
Tom at nomenu.com. But they really do fill that place up, so if you are serious about it.
In the days when Clark was around.
Clark was amazing.
We had bigger tables of like 12 people.
Yep.
And then we never make plans, but we will if you would like to join us. Send us an email, tom@nomenu.com.
Yep.
260-6368 is the number if you would like to chat with us. That's what we're doing, just chatting about food here.
That's us.
Today's also the day that factory to make cheese went into production for the first time. You know, I think cheese is, well, first of all, one of God's great gifts to mankind. But the idea of cheese being manufactured is unpalatable to me, although I eat pretty much nothing but manufactured cheese and love it. But I can't help but think about the really cool kinds of cheese that's made around the world, like the kind that Eric from Aquistapace could come in here and talk about, because he travels around the world to these cheese caves and places.
There's something about that doesn't have the ring of deliciousness.
You know, talks to shepherds and, you know, back in the Middle Ages, so-and-so's ancestors made cheese by milking this or that animal and aged it exactly this under this rock, and, you know, put some pepper in there. And it's fascinating to think of the way cheeses have been made, not manufactured, but made by hand in Europe for millennia. And I would really, you know, this is one of those things where I say I'd really love to do it, and I probably wouldn't, but I kind of think I would even do this. Go to one of those places that he goes to and actually go to some of those caves and see how it's done, because it's one of those things that is as old as humanity itself and one of those skills that is passed down only from generation to generation. And I just think the whole thing's kind of fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Well, why not? It certainly is cultural and it tastes good, too.
Yeah, but, you know, in America, again, we do our fake American food. But I got to say, you know, Vermont cheddar's pretty good. It's hard to beat that. And also, there are cheese artisan cheesemakers in the United States who are adopting some of those kinds of techniques, but nothing like the kind that I'm talking about, because we don't have that like.
You can make it, though. If you wanted to make your own cheese, you could. It's not all that hard. It's not all that easy either.
Well, of course you can, but you can't do it in the way that the people who have been doing it since the 1500s are doing it in caves in England or France.
You know, that was going on here for a little while. Some back around.
That's what I'm saying. There are people who are doing the artisan cheese thing, but but it can't possibly replicate anything that I'm talking about.
You'd be amazed. There were some people on the North Shore. I don't know whether they're
working. Mauthe?
It might be them. I don't know
they're
who's
still doing it.
But they had some of what you would have to call a cave. It wasn't really a cave, but, you know, in New Orleans, in Louisiana, where are you going to put a cave?
Does anyone know if anyone's doing anything like that around here?
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely is and has been quite a bit. There are some people who get who live up that way, and they make their own fruit. They do make their own fruit. And they make all their own cheese and all of that. It's pretty astonishing. They're good at it.
Well, again, good at it for Covington, Louisiana standards, but, you know, it can't hold a candle to something that's been going on in some tiny little village in England or France since, like I said, the Middle Ages, you know, when they were roasting saints at the stake and stuff like that. I mean, it goes back kind of a long way. Anyway, love cheese. If you have a favorite cheese, would like to hear about that too. I personally am really kind of enamored of Beecher Flagship, which comes out of Seattle.
Beecher?
B-E-E-C-H-E-R.
Uh-huh.
Beecher.
Yeah.
Flagship.
Flagship?
Which I know can be found at Aquistapace. I'm not sure where else it is, but it's an artisan cheese that's made in the Pike's Market in Seattle, and you can see them doing the cheese curds, and they have a a whole range of cheeses. They have, you know, macaroni and cheese you can eat at the little counter and all. But Beecher cheese is kind of delicious, and it's interesting to watch them make it right on site there. It's kind of gross too, but anyway, to see the cheese curds in the big long pans that go like they look kind of like something that a cow would drink out of, you know, but it actually is filled with cheese curds.
Hearing the words Beecher cheese.
Beecher flagship, yeah.
Yeah, and it makes you stop. Wait, a what? And yeah. Then you go in the back and find what vegetables are out there.
You know, the cheese curds are actually, when you think cheese curds, I'm me, so I think, yeah, that doesn't sound very good, but really what it is cheese. I mean, it's, you know, cheese curds are cheese, and I don't really understand the distinction between the two of them because they both taste like cheese to me. They're doing cheese curds. They're doing poutine, which you're starting to see a lot of.
Oh, it's way too much.
Yeah, it's really weird because it's not all that great to begin with, but when you see it in a place like here, it's like, what are you doing? Why are we doing poutine? But I am seeing it all over. There's a poutine on the menu for happy hour at Brennan's. And we had poutine last week when we went to the Dixie Brewery reopening. Fete au Fete is serving a crawfish poutine. Anyway, 260-6368 is the number. If you would like to chat with us, we would love to do that
with
you.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Give us a call. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM, HD2.
Well, hello. We're back again. It's the Food Show. The Food Show is all we do around here. We're happy to do lots and lots of it with you. If you have a minute to shoot the breeze a little bit, go ahead, do it. What the heck? There goes heck again. That's three times in a row. I can do better than that. But anyway, call us up. Share whatever it is that you have been finding lately as you go around in restaurants, doing your own cooking at home, and whatever it is that makes your life pleasant. 260-6368 is the telephone number, and there we will be. And hope to see you. And and should I tell him more about my birthday? You know, Bill Calder. Can I tell a quick?
Sure.
I tell an Anna?
Please do
okay.
It. Yes.
There's a guy by the name of Bill Calder, who was a longtime radio announcer. It would be a good name for him. But he was very funny. He had a unique style. He talked. He did talking. He played music. He did a little bit from another era, really. Anyway, Bill Calder was here in town working for the same station I was working for at the same time. And we got to one to know another. And it came out that very quickly is that that he was going to have his birthday shortly, and so was I on the same birthday. So he said, I can tell you what to have as a solution for this, if that's something that gets in your way. Just tell them that you don't want them to tell you happy birthday, because if you do say those words, people do come from out of the woodworks and swarm all over you and make you seem more important than you actually are, or something like that. Anyway, Bill Calder, long since passed away, but I think about him a lot.
Well, happy birthday, Tom.
Thank you. You know, it feels so good to have a birthday.
We're going to say happy birthday to Tom every day until it's his actual birthday.
Oh, great.
Which is coming up.
That's a terrific thing. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Happy birthday,
Tom. I think I'll get away
Tom.
With that.
Yes. So we didn't talk about where we went Friday night.
Friday night.
Friday night, yeah. We went to the Brick Oven Cafe.
Brick Oven Cafe with my sisters.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Mm. Yes.
And this is a place fairly close to the airport. And you may have gone there before, because a lot of people were going there when their airlines were running late or something like that, and they would just go over to that place. It was called the Brick? No.
Brick Oven Cafe.
Brick Oven Cafe. I have been hearing for years that it is part of the organization.
It hasn't been
Deanie's,
for 14 years.
And it hasn't, yeah. It that was not true for all these years. People have been telling me that. So anyway, we went over there. And the first thing we learned is that they didn't have any alcohol there. I mean, even if you wanted a little bit of beer, you couldn't have get it. You couldn't have gotten it.
Yes, that was a little weird. But, yeah, so don't go there looking for alcohol. Bring your own. It's a BYOB situation at the moment. But it's a cute little place in a yesteryear kind of way.
Yeah, it's a funny
it's
looking.
Straight out of the 80s. Yeah. I don't think it's been touched since then. And it's different for sure. And for people in Kenner, I'm sure that you go there and have a good Italian meal when you want to have an Italian meal. It's certainly a very viable restaurant. If you're in Kenner, there's not much out there. So I think that probably a lot of people do go out there. We were out mm-hmm. there because we hadn't been there in a while and wanted to check it out.
Yeah.
And I liked it. I liked my pizza a lot. I had a Liberta pizza.
That's what I had the last time I was there, and that was about 30 years
ago. Which is surprising that you would say that, because a Liberta pizza has about 10 times more ingredients than you are wont to have on a pizza. It had Italian sausage, which I love, olives, which I love. It had peppers and various other things that Tom doesn't usually eat on pizza. It was good, though. I thought it was, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, there's it's hard to do a bad pizza. I mean, it is possible. It's possible.
It's definitely possible.
Pizza, and so it's hard for me to say, well, you know, this is a bad pizza. This was a good pizza. I enjoyed it, and everybody that had a slice of it enjoyed it. And so I got the pizza, and I said, you know, I'm going to get this as an appetizer. We're going to get it sliced extra small so that I'll have like two pieces and everybody else can eat it as appetizers, and then I don't take it home. And that's what we did, and everybody really enjoyed it. There were mushrooms on it too, I think. And then everyone got some big old pile of Italian food.
Well, whatever it was all pretty darn good. The dish that I got was
the same, though.
Was manicotti. And there was a time, about the only one I can say that still follows this menu is the Fausto's. Anyway,
I think Fausto's food is much more sophisticated than that.
Great place. Yeah. I always like
Fausto's food is sophisticated. This it's sophisticated and homey at the same time. This is straight ahead homey. And there's nothing wrong with that. It hit the spot, you know. It came in a gigantic bowl filled to the brim. It had a lot of red sauce. It had cheese melted on it. These were all the things. It didn't matter what you got. They all looked the same.
Yeah.
They had a big pile of red sauce, melted cheese with bubbles on it, and you dug into it, and it was a great aroma, and it was comfort food central, and you pulled it apart, and it had, what is that that you like to call, Tom, festoons of cheese?
Festoons of cheese. Yeah, this is where you're eating pasta that has a lot of very, very hot melted pasta.
Yep.
And you stick your fork in, and you eat it kind of like you eat any other kind of pasta, but maybe a little more careful, and you wrap it around the knife and fork, and then you move it in there, and you have this string of sugar, not sugar.
Call it telefono or something.
Yeah, telefono, which is these little strings of pasta, and you wrap it around everything. And it looks so ridiculous.
It's good. It was good.
But it's something that even as simple as it is, it really is good. I've especially at places that have some knowledge of how to do it, and over there at Fausto's, they certainly do.
And Brick Oven is where we were Friday night, and they also did it. There were different things on the table. There was a dish of manicotti, which you had, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that was in a bowl.
Enough for five people.
Yeah, it was all enough for five people. And there was lasagna and chicken parm And I forget the other thing. There were two lasagnas, a chicken
farm. There's one with
chicken.
Oh,
and an eggplant.
Eggplant,
an eggplant dish. Yeah. And it all looked the same, and it all tasted the same. But that's not a bad thing, because it tasted good. It was that, it was that hearty, just like your grandma made Italian red sauce, and just an ungodly amount of cheese. But what's wrong with that?
Fausto's melted really does melted that better
cheese.
Than I've seen.
Well, this is what I'm saying. I mean, Fausto's is that same kind of delicious Sicilian red sauce, but it's a more sophisticated plate of food than what we had at Brick Oven. But that's not to gainsay what was there at Brick Oven.
Mm-hmm.
It was good.
Yep.
It was good.
Mm-hmm.
No two ways about it. If you've been to Brick Oven lately, I'd like a report on that from you. If that's the experience that you had, we would be interested in hearing that. It brought back memories. I remember when Jude was like 2 years old.
Jude's our son.
2 years old. And he was barely talking, but he talked pretty early and had a lot of really kind of adult things to say. And I was a stay-at-home mom, and we did a lot of riding around and looking at things. And there was this bridge on the North Shore, which is still on the North Shore. And it's over the Chafuncta, and it doesn't raise up like a bridge to let boats through, but it goes from side to side. So when it's time for, it's like on the top of the hour and the bottom of the hour, the bridge closes, and then it goes and twists to the side to let boats come through. It's very noisy when it does that, and we used to always watch the bridge, Jude and I, and Jude called it the noisy bridge.
The noisy bridge.
And there was a bar at at the Brick Oven. And Jude was, I'm not kidding, about 2.5. And so he goes to the bar and sidles up next to a woman with a pickup line. And the pickup line was, "So, do you like the noisy bridge too?" I'll never forget
little
that.
Little stories from our kids.
Never forget that.
Yeah,
and
why
so,
not? You know, we don't get enough of them.
So it's no real surprise that he's, you know, working for Amazon now, because he was good at that when he was 2.5.
Yeah.
260-6368 is the number. If you would like to chat with us, we would like to chat with you.
Yep,
that was the Brick Oven in Kenner. If you have any report on that, does anyone ever go to the Brick Oven? You know, they have a good deal there with their location. Their location is right next to a hotel. And, you know, in the case of people who are just flying in and maybe they've been to New Orleans several times and they're just, you know, at a
or they have
stopping
40 hours
to sleep, you know, they could just get up and walk out of the hotel and walk right over to the Brick Oven. I'm sure there's a lot of that in there. But I didn't get that from the group of people that was in there, first of all, because the parking lot is always completely full. So I think it is actually locals that go there, and it's because it's good. Anyway, I don't know. I can't compare them to Gendusa. I haven't been to Gendusa in a long time, but I imagine it's a lot of the same kind of just your mama's kind of Italian food or your grandma's Italian food. 260-6368 is the number. If you'd like to chat with us, we would love to chat with you. We will be back shortly. Do you have something to say, Tom?
There's something over here that
we have to take a break.
Let's take a break.
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
We'll be back.
We'll
You're
be
listening
right back.
To WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
You can call us because we know a few things just for starters, but beyond that, we also are turning in constantly new developments on the food scene. It's always in motion. More lately than they have been in my career, and that goes back a little ways.
You know, I was talking to two people today at Martin Wine Cellar. We were talking about Pascal's Manali.
Yeah.
And the question was, has Manali's changed since the DeFelices were not there? And I don't know who's been there lately. I feel like the answer to that question is no, because we were there a couple of weeks ago, like maybe right before the end of the year. Yeah, it was definitely right before the end of the year. And it had been under the new management for, I don't know, a month or more, 6 weeks. And
something like that.
Yeah, and it was very much the same as it had always been. And the person that we were talking to, one of them said to the other, you know, wanted to know the answer to that, and they also said the same thing. And so I was just wondering if anyone had found something different than that, because it seems to me that the stewards of the Manalis legacy were very careful in selecting the successor to that. And when they had the opportunity to sell it to someone that they knew would keep it pretty much the same, and he promised to do that, he is fulfilling that promise. So if anyone's been to Manalis and found something other than that, we'd like to hear about it. But in our mind, it pretty much will be carried on exactly, not exactly, but pretty much exactly as it was.
I don't think you need to worry too much about it. It's three brothers and a sister who run it. And I know them very well, and I still love the place. And any chance I get to go there. So I was there maybe about a month and a half ago, and I was asking them about all of this, and the feeling that not just the employees, but just about all of the customers I talked to who come there regularly told me that things are at least as good as they ever had been, and everything is working out fine. They don't have collapse of everything in the process of that.
Collapse of anything.
So I think they're safe, and the times I've been there, it's been just what I remember.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 2606368. I did a piece on Valentine's Day in nomenu.com today recommending restaurants. Mary Lee and I collaborated on it a little bit, and Tom has asked me to do this every year as a woman. And so Mary Lee, as another woman, and I collaborated on it, and she was concerned that there wasn't much about food on it. But there are so many restaurants out there that if we're recommending only 14 of them for Valentine's Day, we'd obviously not be selecting them without them having good food first. I mean, that's sort of the number one criterion or number one criteria. And
right the first time.
Okay, wait. The criteria, yeah, you're right. Okay, so criterion was food. That, you know, it's got to be good food. But beyond that, what we decided was that these were all going to be judged strictly on atmosphere, because you can only pick 14, and it's about that romantic vibe that you get when you're in a place that has it versus a place that doesn't. So we put together this list of 14, and if you read it and disagree with any of it, we'd like to know, was there something that you felt we left out? And was there something on it that you felt we should have left out?
You know, it's funny you should bring that up, because just this morning while I was waiting for the program to begin, I had these pieces of paper about exactly what you're talking about, the oncome of the new beads and everything and anything that would attract the place, and all the changes that have been made, but none of which are enough to make you say, gosh, that's not the restaurant I used to know. There might be somebody listening to us who does feel like this isn't the restaurant I
So we're back to Pascal's Manalis.
Oh, if you want to. You know me. I can.
Well, no, I'd moved on to the Valentine's Day thing.
Oh, well,
yeah.
It's sort of related.
But you don't really, you're not really into romance. So
what do you mean? These women, they are so tough.
2606368 is the number. Oh, you know what? I should have picked up while I was there at Martin
Weinzeller.
Should have picked up some Perugina.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The cheese.
No.
No? What Perugina are you talking about?
Little chocolates that look like nipples that you used to say you could never find anywhere, but they were always everywhere. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Little hazelnuts. But there were milk chocolate, and I've moved past milk chocolate. That was way back in the day, like, you know, back in 30 years ago.
Oh, I
was still
doing milk
chocolate, but now I'm not.
Yeah, you don't have to tell me about that.
I made some more peanut butter cups. I was talking about the peanut butter cups that I made for Christmas of the melted chocolate. Because, what's her name? Molly Kimball.
That sounds familiar.
Back in October, maybe September even, had a party to celebrate the release of her book, Eat Fit, or Eating Fit, or something like that. And there was a gigantic table of desserts at this party, and nobody was really eating them, but there was one platter of peanut butter cups, and they were just so beautiful. And I tried one, and then I realized they were made with fake sugar. And it was still good, but I decided, since I don't eat fake sugar, that I would go ahead and use that same recipe, but make it with real sugar. But I didn't use sugar at all. What I did was I melted chocolate into a cup, and then I put like a teaspoon of natural peanut butter that I ground myself at Fresh Market, and then I covered that over with some more dark chocolate, and so I'm making peanut butter cups now too. Anyway, those were good.
Well, good. I'm glad you shared that with us.
260-6368. You know, while we were talking, Tom, I happened to look over your shoulder, and I saw on one of your shelves a book that I was desperately looking for when it was time to do the interview with him, and then I wound up not doing the interview anyway. Alex Hitz was in town with his book, The Art of the Host.
Yeah, I thought that was a great idea and well executed.
It's a beautiful book.
And
anyway, he's got a recipe in here that I am very intrigued by, because I try not to eat anything that's fried anymore. And I used to love fresh cut fries and fresh cut chips. And he's got a recipe in here for oven roasted potato chips, which...
That's making a real, not came comeback because it hadn't happened yet, but the a lot of restaurants are picking up that trick.
I'm going to try that. It's like you would use a... just a really, really thin mandolin and make really thin chips.
Very thin.
I guess what you have to do is paint them with olive oil, because it's roasted. It's not fried. It's not deep fried. So I'm going to try that. And then you, I guess, put them in the oven and let them crisp up. But I would
definitely at a pretty high temperature.
I would definitely eat some potato chips if I could do it like that, because olive oil is good for you as opposed to canola oil. And there is no deep frying involved. So that is something that I'm most interested in trying. I would very much like to do that.
Well, we will keep our eye on it.
Yeah, I'm gonna go.
It's
ahead,
a great idea.
I'm gonna go ahead and give that a try, because that's something that I could be talked into having a whole bunch of those. If I mean, I love potato chips, but I don't so much care for the deep frying. But this is a beautiful book. I didn't get a chance to really look at it very much, and I don't know if anyone wound up actually going to the book signing, because he was here to do a book signing, and he was on the show to talk about doing the book signing before that. Anyway, 260-6368 is the number. Where else did we go over the weekend? We went – oh, I know. We have another place to talk about. Stephen, let's go to Stephen.
Hey.
Hey,
how are you? Good.
We are good. How about you?
Good. Since we're talking about ice cream, the ice cream poor boy that Chef Duke has is made away from there, and he only adds like chocolate sauce to it. And it is
the
best
New Orleans
ice cream sandwich. Yes.
Yes, and it's so good. So good.
It's probably the best ice cream sandwich I've ever had.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You haven't had my daughters. Those are pretty good too.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you hear your boy? What's his name? Connor.
Was Connor. Yeah. I heard somebody. Yeah. I heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. We're gonna have to go over there and have a look.
I usually go on Tuesdays, so tomorrow's my day to go.
Well, I thought it was closed on Monday. Is it?
It's closed on Monday. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to go over there today, actually, and meet someone over there, but then I found out it was closed. So I have to go one of these days. Okay, what's up? What else?
Also, what is the size of Tom's sardines? Are they the sardines in the can, or are they the big ones like this?
Are they real sardines or fake sardines?
No, what you want is the ones that come from Sardinia, which is an island.
So real sardines.
An island in the Mediterranean. They're hard to find around here.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's what you mean when you say garlic and sardines? Those
sardines? Why not? No, what I'm after, there's one characteristic that I want to see in preparing that, and that is a good laugh.
Okay.
That's all I'm after is a good laugh, and if you give me that, then I'm satisfied.
Because the bigger sardines are like 8 or 10 inches long, not, you know,
real ones.
An inch long.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they eat them. They eat them without even cooking them in Sardinia, or for that matter. Oh, yeah.
What?
Yes, indeed. I'm not kidding.
I know you're not, but you should be. Go ahead. What, Stephen?
Okay, I went to the district today.
District Donuts?
District Donuts, yeah.
And?
The donut was great. I wasn't crazy about the sliders. I mean, for once, they were like 3 times more expensive than they should be, and their pickles were terrible that they make themselves.
Well, Stephen, you and I are not the target market, you know?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. There's your answer to that. Okay, what else is on your
list? Well, I'm going to go to Tasty Donut tomorrow and get their burgers for $3 and see if they're as good as the ones I ate for $10.
I guarantee the answer is probably yes. We have to get Tasty Donuts on with our McKenzie stuff. We have to get a lot of stuff on because I want to do a king cake tasting before king cake season is over.
We got to get on. I haven't had my first one yet.
I know, but we have to do that. Like, you know, be Mardi Gras before you know it. What, Stephen?
Yeah, and I went out to Creole Creamery while I was listening to you. I drove out.
Uh-huh.
And it's a Walgreens, not a Rite Aid.
Oh, thank you.
You said it was
really?
Across. So I drove up and down 4 times looking for it. I kept saying, well, there's the Walgreens. Maybe it's, she's talking about Walgreens.
I'm sorry. Someone said, one of my friends texted me, it's Vicksburg. And also Allie called and said it was Vicksburg.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm sorry. Well, they must have changed it because I think it was a Rite Aid at one point.
Okay. I had Creole cream cheese and peanut butter fudge.
Ooh, that sounds good.
It was good.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it was $2, huh?
$2 for two. Matter of fact, the guy that was doing he said originally, oh, $6. I mean $2. So I assume they're $3 a scoop normally.
Uh-huh.
But he just
that's
automatically.
That's a great deal, though, because that's really premium ice cream.
Yeah, it's really good. And, you know, I'm an ice cream nut, so.
Yeah, yeah. I was over there today, and I meant to do that, and I forgot to stop. What? Oh, okay. I think that you have to wind it up, Stephen, because we have another caller.
Okay.
So what else is on your
list?
That's it.
Okay.
All right.
See you tomorrow. Bye.
Bye. Let's go to Marilyn.
Hi.
Hey. Hi. Welcome.
Thank you. I passed Acme in Covington, and it's closed. I was wondering if you had any information on what happened.
I do indeed. I talked to them when it happened about 2 weeks ago, and they said that that location wasn't generating enough cash, and so they have shut it down, and that's it. They have no plans anytime soon to reopen it for any reason or for anybody else to open it. They haven't come through anymore. But they're wide open about it. They're not trying to kid anybody. They just closed the place down, period.
Permanently.
Okay.
Yep. Marilyn.
Disappointing. Always had good meals there.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of our family's little hangout kind of a place. My daughter in particular liked getting wedge salads over there, and we'd just sit and eat.
Yeah.
We weren't expecting that at all. It just, bang, there it was, gone.
Yeah.
But that's the story, and there's nothing else, horrible or evil or anything like that.
But it's not going to reopen even another location.
No, they're not.
That's a shame.
Now, Marilyn, are you a longtime resident of the North Shore?
No, 10 years.
Okay, never mind then. Because that building has had some colorful stories attached to it.
Oh, one and another and another and another.
And I was just wondering if you had been to any other place in that building prior to Acme, but the answer would be no. Okay.
No, it was always Acme.
Yeah.
But we did enjoy it, and the oysters were always delicious, and the food was always
They were great.
Have you been to New Orleans Food and Spirits?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
And then I just called where Felix opened over here.
Yeah, but I think that the oysters at New Orleans Food and Spirits are far superior to that.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Okay. Because we are going to need another place for charbroiled oysters.
Yeah, that's true.
Were delicious there.
And there was that one in Covington that's practically all they served. And that's not really true, but it's... they had a lot of them on the menu, and they keep popping up now.
You can pretty much get them anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they were really good there, I thought.
They were really good, yeah. And a little expensive, but the food was good, always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for calling.
We'll miss them. You're
welcome.
See ya.
For those who are wondering what exactly we're talking about, the Acme Oyster House on the North Shore, not to be confused with the one on the North Shore.
Nope, South Shore.
It's South Shore, period. That's it. And then the one that's on Iberville Street in the middle of the French Quarter, you can best believe there's not anything that's going to move that place away because that is a huge leap. We have Steve on the phone. Steve is on the phone. Steve?
I just wanted to see if you all knew about the new steakhouse coming to the North Shore.
Oh, which one?
Desi Vega.
You know, that's a good idea, I think.
He's good.
Desi Vega's going everywhere.
What's that?
What'd you say, Marianne?
I said Desi Vega's going everywhere.
Yeah, he's coming to that place that right now, well, it has been a pre.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Oh, that place that's kind of hangs.
Wait, is that closed already?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they spent a fortune remodeling it.
That was a great-looking restaurant. I know. It was a bar, mostly.
Yeah.
But at one time, it had been a restaurant. I can remember when it did. And some time ago.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful development because...
got to do something with it.
That place
sits there.
So the view, and I put that in quotes, is granted over like a ditch. But there is some woodsy view behind it. And I remember when it was Rocket Fire Pizza...
Yeah, that was cool.
Which was good. That was sad that they closed.
Yeah.
That was an attorney who I think just wasn't making enough off of his investment, and that was the end of that.
Or maybe didn't know about how to make a restaurant.
I mean, that's primarily it. But that was a very cool place.
Yeah.
And
then
they moved to the South Shore, and then that was the end of it. But and then it became the offices for that bizarre mugshots operation. And then a prey, but I cannot believe a prey is gone already. That's like not even 4 months, I think. Wow.
Maybe a little bit more than that. The band I work with played there in late November, early December. I can't remember exactly, but they were having bands from 7 to 10 o'clock on Saturday night, which I love, having them early like that. And then they had the you know, disco thing after that.
It was so not right for the North Shore. I mean,
I don't know.
It was strange. But I think that's a good development that Desi Vega will be in there. I think maybe he could make something of that place. I'm excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
We have come to the end of our program for today, which we have enjoyed, haven't we? Enjoyed.
Always.
Everyone, always.
Always.
We have always had a good time and happy to be here.
Yes. Good night, everyone. Have a good meal. WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.